Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in this next episode of In the Dirt with a Sodan. I got a special guest with me today. He's actually on day three of his new job, which is a big transition for him. I'd love to introduce to Jeremy Stevens, who is the mobile service director now at Bozard Ford in Florida. So Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jordan. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, man, it's a huge pleasure to do this with you. I've been following you for a long time. I know we were just joking about this, but you were on a Ted Ings event, and after hearing you speak on there, I was like, oh my gosh, man, this guy knows what's up. This cat knows what's going on. Got to connect with him. Got to start following him. And really, the heart of what attracted me to what you do and how you speak to others is people. It's very clear that your passion is centered around people. I know you know that, but yeah, maybe other people within the automotive don't necessarily know that about you. So I just want to make sure that's very clear from the very beginning. So man, huge congrats on your transition to Bozard. How has it been going so far?
You know, it's been going great. It's a huge transition. You know, I left my hometown born and raised in, a company that I love, that I spent 20 years there.
That's right.
So it was a huge decision, but I just felt like it was my time to go. You know, and I always followed, you know, Bozard Ford and what Ed was doing and, you know, the vision and the place. And, you know, it kind of made sense. And, you know, we're here now. So we're in a different spot. All my kids are grown. You know, it's the first time I got to make a decision all by myself without having to.
As an empty nester, that's
like,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're going to school. It's like my kids are grown now. So Michelle and I are in a different spot in our life. So, you know, my house is, you know, we found a house and I'll sit in it. You know, I came home last night because Michelle went back to North Carolina and I'm sitting in this empty house with no furniture. I got the air mattress in the master bedroom. I'm sitting on the counter eating my supper. I was like, you know, I at least need a chair. So I think I'll go home. I think I'm going to stop and get a bar stool so I can just sit down at the bar tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Nobody's crazy enough to move a week before Christmas. But
that's right. Yeah. But yeah, you know, that tells me too, is that not that where you were at was a bad thing or a bad situation, because man, 20 years where you were was a huge accomplishment. Being able to grow within that organization, but now kind of blossoming into this next stage of life, being an empty nester, joining Bozard, joining the great Ed Roberts on his team. Yeah. It's probably got to feel like quite an accomplishment, almost like a dream come true. Like, how do you feel about that, Jeremy?
It feels real good. You know, when I was talking with some of the technicians before I made a decision, this one guy said one thing that you know, it's echoed at even, you know, Ford says it, that this is the Disney World of dealerships.
And, sure.
You know, it's like that Jerry Maguire movie. It's like, man, you had me at hello. And it's like, okay, you had me at Disney World. It's like that customer experience. It's like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, even looking back through that, they've just had so much growth over the last, you know, let's say 15, 20 years at Bozard. And I think it all has just come back to why and how, where their focus is and how they do it. Because they really have customers at the center of what the interaction is and what their entire goal is. So it's cool that you're a part of that.
It is, you know, because it's all, you know, they talk, it's about the customer and it's about the employee. And it's just pretty cool to see behind the scenes with it, because you always wonder, you know, it's like, okay, is it that good? And it's like, it is. And, you know, it's very inspiring. You know, it's been great. It's been drinking from a fire hose for the past 3 days, but it's been awesome. It's been real good.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really cool to hear what the future plan is for you guys, you know, in the next, not only like few years, but I'm talking like few months. So that's cool. Now, I'm going to save that for actually a future episode on Sodu's Auto Collapse when we have you on that here in a week or two. So we'll save that. But like, let's talk about what really attracted you to automotive. So, Jeremy, how did you get started in automotive? What brought you into this industry?
So it was really a rash decision. It wasn't, you know, it's one of those decisions. It wasn't the best decision, but it was a decision because my older brother, he was a straight A student.
Sure.
So he made it hard for me because I wasn't a straight A student. I was I was happy if I got a D. I celebrate. I feel like my parents should have got me ice cream getting a D, but they didn't. And I barely passed high school. And then I remember my mom set me down and said, "You got to go to some kind of college." I was like, "I'm not even going to take the SAT. I just want to go work."
Yeah.
And so we compromised. And I did like I did like working on cars. I kind of liked cars. And I was like, and I was looking through a Wake Tech community college. And I was like, okay, so this automotive program's a year. I like cars. I can suck it up for a year and do it. And that's pretty much how I got started into it. And, you know, shortly after that, I got a job at a local, you know, gas station that had, it was the old school service center where they changed oil, they did tires, brakes. But they also had the full service pump where when somebody, you know, drove over that rubber line, the bell rang.
And that's then, right.
You know, made my 17-year-old self come running out, pumping people's gas. I didn't have the onesie jumpsuit though.
Okay.
It wasn't that.
I'm thinking of you with one of those little change clickers too, like on your belt, so you can get change real fast.
No. I did have to squeegee everybody's windows off.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I remember some of the season people would point at the windshield, and I had to go back and redo it again. So I learned a lot of customer service skill. You know, when people would fuss me out because I didn't do a good job wiping their windows or anything. So it was a great experience. But that's pretty much how I got into it.
That's cool. Now, what was it that made you fall in love with it? Because that's clearly, a very false side of the on the far side of the spectrum, because here it is, you basically got into this because your mom said you needed to do something. So you go and do it, but then here you are decades later still pursuing this and still looking for that next step and still trying to bring more to the industry. So when did you fall in love with it, Jeremy?
Probably, you know, really real fast, because when I was growing up, I was dyslexic, but they, you know, the school didn't test you out for that stuff.
They didn't know. That you exactly.
Were, yeah, they just thought you were dumb. So they just, you know, put you in the other classes. But when I started working on cars, I was good at it, you know, because it was working with your hands, and I started to develop that skill, and you gain confidence from that.
That's right.
And that's when I fell in love with when you had the first customer that requested you to work on their car. But okay, that's pretty awesome. It's like, okay, so now, yeah, people are knowing that I can actually fix something.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's when I fell in love with it, you know, from that part of it. But then it kind of evolved into something else. You know, I started seeing that dealership is a great place for anybody, you know, especially people like myself that's kind of struggled in schools and stuff like that. And that you can be anything you want to be in there if you just do the fundamentals.
Yeah, that's right. And you've had a variety of roles within automotive. Obviously, you just didn't stop at technician. So how did you know when you were ready for that next step and when to actually do that? What did that look like?
So I remember when I was a technician, there was always something I felt like there was something more that I was supposed to do. And it's hard to describe it, but it's like there was this restless feeling that I enjoyed working on cars and I was fine retiring being a technician. But there was something different. And I searched for it, and actually I left the dealership probably for about maybe 2 years, because I wanted to have my own shop. I think most of the technicians always desired to have that. So
yeah.
So my dad has this old, you know, beat up garage behind, you know, beside my parents' house that, you know, it's kind of a storage building that he converted into a garage. We took a storage building and cut the floor out, put on cinder blocks. So it's one of those buildings. So I started my own business through there.
Yeah.
And I had that sense of ownership that, you know, I'm building this. And, you know, this is a whole nother story. But, you know, 2 months, that shop burnt down.
Yeah.
Lost everything, lost all my tools and equipment. So starting over from scratch. And even from that point, I kind of started a mobile business because I didn't have nowhere to go. So,
yeah.
So I did a mobile service, you know, 15 years ago because I didn't have any other options.
The first mobile service, huh?
I was like, what do you do now? It's like, man, buildings are expensive. And eventually after that, I did go back to the dealership.
Yeah. And a few months ago, when you and I were talking about this, we had made the joke that the dealership purposely came and burned that down just to get you back. Do you remember that?
Yep, exactly.
We were joking about that. That's right.
And you know, that's what the owner said. He still claims that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because I did go back to him, you know, because I went back, and I remember meeting him. I can't remember where I met him, at a grocery store or something, and. You know, I ran into him. He said, "You thinking about coming back?" I was like, "Yeah." I said, "But I don't want to be a technician anymore."
Yeah.
And he said, "What do you think about being a service manager?" I was like, "Heck no!" I said, "That's, man, it's like that's a hot spot." And then I thought about it. I was like, "Well, yeah, I could do that." So he before I even was hired, he opened up some training on the Chrysler side for me to do some service manager training and stuff. So I started doing that, and when the job came available, you know, when I said, okay, I'll do it. Let me try it. Well, he said, yes, but then he gave it to somebody else. And I was like, what have I done? And I was like,
dude, lied to me.
Yeah. He said, that's fine. He said, just go back to our Chevrolet store and be a technician and we'll get you ready. I was like, that's perfect. Cause I was on the fence about it anyway.
Sure. That's right.
So I went back to being a technician at a Chevy store and, you know, I was like, well, maybe it's not meant to be. And then, you know, probably a year later, you know, he came back around. It's like, hey, are you ready now? I was like, I don't know. And he said, it's at the Chrysler store. And I was like, oh, heck no. It's like, I don't want to do the Chrysler side.
Sure.
But then I finally started looking at it. I was like, okay, we can make this work. So I did. I went through there and it was, you know, that first 2 months I quit probably several times. You know, it was a total from technician to service manager. I remember the first week I called all my service managers and apologized to them. It's like, hey, I know I gave you a hard time. I'm sorry. I didn't know you had to do all this crap.
Yeah.
But you know,
kind of like when you become a parent and you think of all the stuff you put your parents through.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. It comes back.
Yeah. That's
right. And it was a hard time personally too. So my second or third month in, you know, my dad had a lot of medical issues.
Sure.
He was the most relentless guy ever, you know, nothing ever, you know, pushed him down. There's so many medical things wrong with him, but he kept getting up and running. But this last time he couldn't. And eventually he passed in the hospital. So it was a horrible 3 months was totally horrible just because everything going on. But then I started seeing some little wins. You know, this is when I discovered leadership. This is where I discovered personal growth. And then as soon as, because I always believe if you get better, everything around you gets better. So that's my big thing with personal growth, you know, because it ripples effect into your family. And, you know, it's a cool thing to see. And as soon as I started training myself, I discovered John Maxwell and, you know, this old nasty closet, you know, I cleaned this closet out. I was like, what is this? What is this big old box in the bottom of this
probably
closet?
Probably cassette tapes, too.
Yes, it was VHS tapes of John Maxwell. And it had these laws of leadership. I was like, what the heck are they talking about laws? They're like thinking laws and leadership. Because my mindset was, I thought you had to be born a leader. Because you met those leaders that had this bubbly personality.
The charisma, exactly.
Yes, and that's not me. I'm more of an introverted kind of guy. I like to stay behind the scenes and... You know, I wasn't that person. So I was just like, well, I'm not that guy. But when I started studying, it's like, oh, you can train to be a great leader. So that's kind of, you know, I didn't have a VHS, you know, that was the time. It's like, gosh, I ain't seen that in long, but I found them on YouTube. So that's what I tell people. It's like, you don't have to buy anything. It's like, just go on YouTube. Right. Everything's on YouTube now. So that's when I started, you know, fall in love with personal growth and leadership. And that's like the other love that really got me into it, because once I started getting better, I was better at my job. And then the people around me got better and you see them develop and you see them win. And then it's like, oh my goodness, this is good. Cause once they start winning, everything else falls into place.
Well, cool. I know we're going to share a lot more on the next episode that we have you on with Auto Collabs, Kyle, Paul, and Michael Cirillo. And we'd love to learn more about the future of remote service and mobile service, what that looks like. But Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for allowing us to share your story.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Dirt with Asotu. If you're new to our channel, make sure and mash that like and subscribe button. Also, check out some of these links for our other great podcasts and content.